Hi, friends. My name is Nasra, and welcome back to today's episode. On today's episode, we'll be bringing it back to the 1900s to cover the case of Leonardo Cianciulli. Have you ever heard of the saying, not to walk under a ladder? If you see a penny on the floor, pick it up. If you see a broken mirror, if you see a black cat cross your path, these are all superstitions, and Leonardo was that type of superstitious person. Leonardo Cianciulli is an Italian woman who was born on April 18, 1894. She was born in Montella, Italy. Her childhood was rough. She grew up in this poverty-stricken neighborhood, and her mother, Amelia, was raped by Leonardo's father, Marano. And she, Amelia, was forced to marry her rapist. When Leonardo Cianciulli was a young girl, she was depressed and even attempted suicide twice before discovering love and marrying Raphael Pensardi, who worked as an office clerk at the time. This clearly contradicted her mother's intentions because Amelia wanted Leonardo to marry a wealthy man and not Raphael. So she did not accept the groom. However, Leonardo denied marrying the other man her mom had in mind, and instead she tied the knot with Raphael in 1917. And because her mother didn't accept the groom, this is when Leonardo started believing her own mother cursed her and was wishing all sorts of bad on their relationship, in which Leonardo did run into some brick walls ever since. She had just lost 13 out of her 17 children at a young age at the time, three of which were miscarriages and the other 10 just died young. And so she became so protective over her surviving children that she went to a palm reader to find out what her four children's futures would look like. Clearly out of fear of losing her only surviving children. And so she goes to this palm reader who then gives Leonardo a warning saying, you have two options based on your future, not your kids, but Leonardo's future. And the palm reader says, in your right hand, I see that you will be placed in a criminal asylum, and in your left, all I see is your children dying before you. And this was shocking to hear for Leonardo. Matter of fact, it left Leonardo on edge. And since she loved her children dearly, she knew that it was time to step up her protection game. In 1927, Leonardo was imprisoned for fraud, did some time, and then she was released. In 1930, the couple decided to move to Lacedonia with the kids. Well, when they migrated to Lacedonia, an earthquake occurred, and this was the Irpinia earthquake, which was a deadly earthquake at the time that left 7,000 people severely injured, 1,400 deaths, and many others displaced, including the couple and their four children. And because of them losing their home, they decided that they were going to move once more to a town called Corrigo Emilia. They got settled down in Corrigo, and this is when Leonardo opens her tea cake and soap shop. Since she was in her teens, Leonardo, you know, you can already see her. She's going to fortune tellers and palm readers. She also found interest in that type of profession. So she decided that she's not only going to run a soap and cake business, but also help others by telling them a fortune and a reading. And in the back of her business, she had this circular table set up where people could come in and ask her about their future, and she would basically give answers that they wanted to hear because that's where the money was coming in from. And so because she was generating lots of money from her fortune telling, palm reading, and selling her tea cakes and soap bars. This lady was establishing a nice reputation for herself. Everybody in Coriago loved this lady. They trusted her. She made a name for herself. She's hardworking, and she's just known to be this loving mother. And this is where things go terribly wrong for Leonardo. World War II broke out, and her oldest son, Giuseppe, was recruited to fight in the Italian army led by Mussolini himself. And Leonardo, she was terrified for her son because she loved him more than her other three children. He was like this golden child to her. So she comes up with this plan to safeguard her child. And the only way she felt that she could protect her child was through human sacrifices. In 1939, unmarried 73-year-old woman that goes by the name Faustina Setti walks into Leonardo's shop. And she enters the store like any other customer. She comes in and asks Leonardo if she can do a reading on her. Leonardo says, "Of course I can." So she starts listening to this customer, getting to know her better and what she wants out of this conversation. And so from Leonardo's understanding, she realizes that this woman was never married and all she wants is to be married. So Leonardo helps her and starts selling her dreams, talking about, "I can get you any husband you want. Matter of fact, there's this guy in Pola, Italy. He's waiting for you, but there's a few steps that you have to do, like paying me for my service, obviously. But besides that, you have to stop by my shop before you leave to Pola." But since Faustina had no immediate family, she didn't have to write postcards to her family and relatives, although it was a part of the instructions. And this to Leonardo, it was kind of like an easy go for Leonardo since no family will come looking for her. So Faustina follows all of these steps. She's excited. She trusts Leonardo. She's just happy and she can't wait to go to Pola to meet this husband. But here's the catch. There was nobody waiting for her in Pola. There's no husband except for Leonardo's ox in her shop. And so the 73-year-old comes walking through the doors, happy. She heads to the back just to be seated down and offered wine by Leonardo as a final goodbye. Nice and all, but the wine had poison in it. And of course, Faustina falls unconscious. And that's when Leonardo hits her with an axe, murdering her. She drags Faustina's body to the closet, and Leonardo cuts Faustina's body parts into 9 pieces there. She collects all the blood and pours it into this big basin to chill. She then takes all of the flesh, human flesh, and combines it with various things until it turns this black mush. And when it turns to this, and when it dissolves to this black mush, she then dumps the black mush into a sewer by her house. At this point, all she's left with the blood in the basin that she left to cool down. She cooks the blood dry in the oven, and then she takes the leftover dry blood, combines it with other ingredients that you need in order to make a cake, such as flour, eggs, chocolate, butter, milk, sugar, and then she continues to knead the dough together. Like just to take all the ingredients and make it, turn it into this one ball of dough. After this step, she bakes the cake and then lets the cake cool down before putting it on display so that her customers could come in and buy these human blood cakes. It was reported that she also consumed the tea cakes and even offered her son, her oldest son, Giuseppe, some of the human blood tea cakes. At this time, she couldn't help but look back at what she did and how she got away with murder without raising any suspicion in the community. Then a few months go by and the second victim walks in. In 1940, a victim called Francesca, 55 at the time, walks into Leonardo's soap shop. And she comes in looking so down, she requests that Leonardo do a palm reading on her. This woman simply says, "Leonardo, I'm searching for a good job that will pay me more and make me happy." And Leonardo informs her that she can assist her. But you just have to follow these simple instructions. And these instructions were similar to the ones she told her first victim to follow. Pay Leonardo. She pays Leonardo for her services, writes postcards to her family and relatives, and comes to her shop before she leaves town. So she comes into Leonardo's shop. Leonardo offers her a glass of wine that had poison in it. Francesca goes unconscious and then hits her with an axe. And then Leonardo hits her with an axe, killing her, murdering her the same way she did to Faustina. But you see, this time Francesca had more body fat than Faustina, the first victim. And she basically did everything the same, but instead she saved not only the blood, but Francesca's body fat. She murdered her. She chopped Francesca's body parts up the same way she did to the first victim. And then she turned her body fat and blood into desserts and soap bars. Think about it. People were washing themselves with dead people's body fat. And lots of customers were coming in. They were complimenting the soaps and the cakes and the candles and how they smelled so, so good. But things grow worse for Francesca. Things grow worse for Leonardo when Francesca's family comes seeking for her. And several people in town were saying that, you know, they saw Francesca walk into Leonardo's business, but she never came out. And this arouses suspicion in Francesca's family. So they come in and Leonardo simply, you know, she starts acting like this isn't her fault and she had nothing to do with it, and that she would keep an eye out for Francesca. And so she sits the woman's family down, and she starts feeding them their own loved one, their own family member, while they're talking about their family member Francesca's weird disappearance. They're basically eating their family member that they're coming into Leonardo's shop asking about. Once they had their conversation, they left the shop. And at this point, Leonardo's human sacrifices started getting out of hand, although it is out of hand, but it's getting worse. She's making money duping people, and then she's selling them this fake dream, telling them that they have to travel somewhere far out of the town, which never happens because she's telling these victims to come to her shop before she leaves, before they leave out of town. And when they come into her shop for a final goodbye, she murders them. And then Leonardo's third victim enters the chat. This third victim walks through Leonardo's shop doors. And mind you, this third victim comes into Leonardo's shop within the same month that Francesca died. So now she has two victims within the same month. And the third victim was a 53-year-old woman named Virginia. And Virginia used to be an ex-opera singer. And she comes in desperate looking for a job too. And she asks Leonardo for help. Leonardo agrees, but you know, there's some steps that she has to follow before being qualified for this non-existent job. Same thing happens. Leonardo starts telling Virginia about this secretary position. It's a great fit for you. You're going to be happy. You're going to make lots of money. And Virginia, she was willing to do whatever it takes to get this job, clearly out of desperateness. And so the same exact thing happens. She comes into Leonardo's shop. Leonardo poisons her with the wine. She falls unconscious, hits her in the head with the axe, repeatedly chops her body up, and turns her human flesh and blood into soaps and tea cakes. But the only difference with this victim compared to the other two victims was not only did she have more body fat than Francesca, but in Cinciulli's memoir, she said that Virginia's flesh was white and fat, and it tasted better than the two other victims. Like, it had flavor. It was very, very sweet. But here's the catch. Virginia's missing, right? And the community, at this point, they're very suspicious of Leonardo. And because people in the community, they saw these three victims walk in and they just never came out. Like, so the cops come walking into Leonardo's shop and Leonardo sits them down. Oh boy. And she gives them something to drink and some of her popular tea cakes. Take it in. These cops are sitting in her shop at the back of the store, asking questions about these three victims while they're partially eating the victim. During the trial, Leonardo showed no remorse while she was explaining what she did to these victims. She was charged with murder and sentenced to 30 years in prison. It was also reported that she allegedly stayed in an asylum for 3 years until October 15, 1970, when she died at the age of 77 from brain hemorrhage. And yeah, this makes up the case of Leonardo Cinciulli, aka the Soap Maker. But I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Feel free to hit that follow button and turn on your notifications, and I'll see you guys in the next episode. Bye.